Voices of VR podcast. Hello, my name is Ken Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So in today's episode, I have Zainab Abash, who is talking about the different preservation efforts that are happening there at USC. And so Zainab reached out to me on LinkedIn a number of months ago, where she was holding a whole preservation panel discussion with different people talking about the different challenges of immersive preservation. And so she's working with Scott Fisher there at USC, and they're doing some really interesting preservation of really, really super early XR experiences, like the very first one of the Sensorama, which is kind of cited as one of the initial catalysts of all of XR and immersive storytelling and VR, before there was even like the Sword of Damocles from Ivan Sutherland. This is in like the late 50s, early 60s. And so they were able to get a hold of one of the Sensoramas and be able to restore it. And they're in the process of being able to actually like show some of the very first early beginnings of immersive media. And so there's lots of other different preservation efforts that they have over time, because there's lots of different like eras from like the 80s and 90s, and like from 2000 to 2012 is kind of like this other period. Now we're in this kind of like consumer era where lots of the different cultural heritage of VR, you know, like think about like the Oculus Share was something that was around that Meta just unplugged at some point. So all of these very early VR experiments were basically offline and not available in any like sustainable fashion. And so there's lots of the different cultural history that's just completely vanished and gone. And one of the things that Zainab says is that we tend to see VR as this kind of like cyclical technology where there's these different waves and winters and things come and go. But because of that cyclical mindset, we don't value the history of what came before. And so there's a way that even within the USC Cinematic School of the Arts, it's not easy to show the students there this prior work, because a lot of it is not widely available. A lot of the best immersive storytelling experiences that you see at Sundance New Frontier, Tribeca Immersive, Southwest Southwest Immersive, Venice Immersive, Con XR, but also like Doc Lab, a lot of those experiences are not widely available and they were never fully distributed. And so the whole aspect of the cultural heritage of these pieces are just kind of vanished and gone. But I think in the future, we're going to need some more of these like open standards, open protocols. And it feels like a lot of what the Metaverse Standards Forum is doing, and that I'll be digging more into Neil Trevitt and what's happened with OpenXR and WebXR and all these other existing open standards. Like there's a slow building up a lot of the different building blocks to be able to actually create some of these different open formats in a way that would be much more easily archivable over time. And so that's just not something that we have right now in XR industry at large. And so I think part of this call is to kind of think about these broader issues, but to see the efforts that are happening there at USC to be able to kind of solve this problem from an experiential and storytelling perspective. And hopefully they'll be able to create a repository of some of these different works that would be both for the students there, but also potentially, I don't know, you know, licensing is always an issue with whether or not that would be available for the general public. But I would love to at least have some place that's really paying attention to the archiving of some of these different types of experiences. So it's really great to hear that that's happening there at USC. And with Zainab, I get a little bit more of an overview of that and looking forward to see how that continues to develop here in the future. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Zainab happened on Thursday, June 18th, 2026 at the Augmented World Expo in Long Beach, California. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
I'm Zainab Abish. I'm a PhD student at USC's Media Arts and Practice Department at the School of Cinematic Arts. And essentially what I'm researching in my dissertation is we've been establishing an archive for XR artworks and films at USC, where we're trying to create strategies on what archiving a complex medium like XR looks like. So we work with different museums like the Computer History Museum, with LACMA and Getty, to really get these institutions to start looking at what it means to treat XR as an art form that deserves to be preserved. And it has a rich history that dates back to the 1960s. And yeah.
Nice. So maybe you could give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into this space.
Sure. So I have been in the industry for about 10 years now. I started out at Sundance New Frontier back in 2016 when we were showing so many VR experiences. It was such a wonderful era where we got to see so many artists come into the industry from across different sort of artistic mediums. And a lot of what I'm trying to focus on is this 2010s era of XR artworks and films are not being properly archived and we're in danger of losing them. So I'm very worried about these works disappearing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what was the first catalyst of this being identified as a problem, and how did you get interested in it?
Well, USC's HMH Moving Image Archive acquired the Sensorama about 5 years ago. And the Sensorama, for anyone who's not familiar, is considered one of the first VR devices that was created by Morton Heilig in 1960. And this machine was essentially sitting in a garage in Long Beach for a long time until USC acquired it via Scott Fisher. And then we've essentially been restoring all the original 3D immersive films that Mort created. And now we have the full Sensorama working again. So that's how this project began. And since then, we've worked on Ivan Sutherland's headset with the Computer History Museum. We've gone through the NASA archives, the first Sixsoft VR experiences that was created in the 80s. So we're slowly making our way up to now, basically. Yeah.
And so in your dissertation, you're diving deep into this. So maybe you could just give me a bit of an overview of what type of stuff are you writing about, have you found in this process of trying to preserve this virtual heritage?
Well, it's interesting. I'm taking a media archaeological lens to it, just trying to understand how archives for media have been formed in general, whether it's for film or gaming, and just really trying to understand how do we start a preservation process for emerging media, even though XR is not necessarily emerging, which is something that I've really been pushing forward now, is we keep telling the story of virtual reality like it's starting new when the history is pretty old. It's been around for decades. And because we're constantly treating it like the cyclical nature to the industry, I feel like it's hurting the way we are trying to establish it as something that has long-term value instead of a story that keeps getting told again, if that makes sense. Another thing that I'm looking at is for something like film and gaming that have relatively standardized file types of standard way of watching them 2D, with something like VR, majority of the work is either tailor-made for specific headsets. As we all know, there isn't necessarily an open standard that has been established across the industry yet. It has been established globally yet. So what do you do when so much of these works are orphaned because a headset that is tailor-made to is discontinued, and then suddenly you don't have the tech companies supporting their obsolete media? And so the artists and the developers that are working on this that are mostly independent don't have the time or the funding, the support to be able to constantly renew these works to be able to be seen in its originally intended medium in newer headsets. So a lot of it is the challenges that come with the culture of Silicon Valley, the constant new technology that comes up, and then the fact that archivists have to deal with obsolete media consistently to get these works to be seen the way they're originally intended. Yeah.
Yeah, it's at IFA Doc Club this year where the Immersive Preservation Institute was announced by Avinash Jenga. And one of the things that he was saying is that in Europe, there's often a requirement for funders to have some sort of archive of immersive media that's funded, and that they were normally just taking a video of it, which doesn't actually preserve the immersive nature of the work itself. And so he was really concerned around, like, how do you actually preserve this content when in the context of the operating system, there's drivers that are changing all the time in a way that you can't always control. And then on the headset, there's drivers that you can't always control, that there will be breaking changes, that if there's a new push from Meta that is onto the headset, it breaks the experience. And so he's got people coming to him saying, hey, can we roll back to a previous version? Because now this project I've been working on for 2 years is completely tanked and I don't know how to fix it. And so there's this other level of like these proprietary systems and these proprietary drivers that are creating this context on top of like Unity and Unreal Engine, which also have their own proprietary nature. And so I know there's the Steam Frame that's coming out on Arch Linux, and that there are these open standards, but that most of the industry is not using those standards to produce the highest end content. And so there's this question of whether or not you continue to use these non-backwards compatible walled garden systems to create the content. And when you do that, then it can no longer be preserved in a way that's easy. So it seems like we're in this kind of chicken and egg problem where the cutting edge of the technology is all these walled gardens that are not really maintainable or preservable, but yet we haven't made this switch over into producing things in a way that could be archived. So just curious to hear your thoughts of this kind of dilemma.
I mean, there's a focus. Whenever we talk about XR history, we always focus on the hardware, right? Like the technological milestones. And then this other aspect of it that I think we keep ignoring is what the actual content is. So the amount of work that is experimental, that's not necessarily successful in making money, or like the failures, these are all works that came from creators that really changed the industry, made people connect to it on a mainstream level, you know, just quick examples would be just the 2010s era, the amount of filmmakers and journalists that came into play, a lot of the VR documentaries that made VR mainstream for everyday people. These things are not considered as much of an innovation as a particular hardware or headset that changed the game would. So I also try to focus on it in a more art historical context, where we really should be looking at what the artists have made to really innovate this medium and change the way we deem what an innovation is, to be able to really get this, in many ways, the industry to be outside of tech, but in the hands of humans in general, and see it as something that is part of cultural heritage, which is difficult to say because a lot of people still feel very iffy about virtual reality. When we talk about it, there's always this like mainstream media treating it like it's doomsday, whatever, you know, kind of situation, which again comes from a place of the lack of accessibility to actually see these works. So when a VR piece or any kind of XR piece is shown in a festival, it's usually very in an exclusive manner. So outside of the festival, distribution is an issue. The average person won't be able to see that particular experience unless they have access to that headset, which then leads to people not really being able to see how big of an art form this has become. So another issue we have, for example, in academia, a lot of students are not able to watch older works. So imagine film students not being able to see older movies. It's a huge problem when it comes to trying to get people to tell different stories where we're not just repeating the same sort of experiences. That's one thing. But also, in order to really establish this as an art form that has roots, we need access to its history. Yeah. So I'm looking at it in a way from an arts perspective and focusing on the story and the creators and the game developers and the filmmakers who have all kind of, to me, made this industry so special and so important for something that we consider as part of cultural heritage.
So what's next on this effort and this initiative?
So right now we're going into the 2010s, and the first thing that feels easy enough to preserve and archive is the actual 360 180 films, because they're all pretty much standard video files. So these are low-hanging fruit. So we're trying to create a part of the archive that is just focused on the cinematic content. So that's the next project that we're focusing on. One fun thing that we've been doing at USC now also is because we have the Sensorama fully working again. And Sensorama, mind you, wasn't just the 3D immersive videos that you were able to see in the device. It was something that was multi-sensory, that emitted smells at you. The chair vibrated. It had fans. And so it was this complete like sensorial experience. So we actually are working with the Institute of Art and Olfaction at downtown LA, where we're recreating the sense that Mort had for his specific 3D films. And we're going to be able to create the VR experience where you're going to watch these 3D films and have these smells come at you as a full like installation piece. So those are two of the big things we're working on right now.
Well, I've got a lot of listeners who have made pieces over the years that, you know, what's a process by which if someone has created something that they want to submit it to the archive, or, you know, what's the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
So we have a website, immersivearchive.org. So you can just find us online. We have an email there. You're welcome to submit any kind of VR experience or any XR experience or hardware that you might have that you want to donate or you want us to tell your story. We're always happy to connect with everybody. That's actually has been the most incredible way of us connecting with people across the world. We've had people send us journals from the 70s and 80s about VR. We've had a random Disney executive send us a Disney Aladdin headset from the 90s that we're keeping. So yeah, just reach out to us via email. We're based in Los Angeles. We're always happy to connect and talk about XR history with anybody.
Nice. And so, and finally, when you think about the ultimate potential of XR and these immersive stories, what do you think the ultimate potential of them might be and what they might be able to enable?
It's a hard question because it's like with any kind of art form or medium, there's the potential to me with XR. I think what got me is how deeply you're able to connect people with story through a medium that still feels experimental and very interdisciplinary. So I think the reason why we keep treating this as a very experimental space brings about all these different artists who want to start creating and testing things. And I think a lot of that experimental nature creates sort of these magical works where we're able to experience story in very unique ways that feel very embodied. So to me, the potential is to remain in this experimental space where it feels like we don't necessarily have these rules on like how an XR experience can be. So we get to create these works that feel very unique and beautiful and amazing. Yeah.
Awesome. Is there anything else that's left unsaid that you'd like to say to the broader immersive community?
Please start documenting and preserving your works. Even if you don't feel like it's something that's worth documenting, it is. All of this matters for us to continue building, especially those of us in academia who are teaching it. What you're doing, the things you're experimenting with, the things you're creating, these are all things that inspire students, that create pathways for people to be able to work in an industry that feels so magical and welcoming to me. So yeah, please start documenting your work.
Awesome. Well, Zainab, thanks so much for all the work that you're doing to help preserve the cultural history of VR, and for the work that you're doing in your dissertation, and also just the capturing and preserving these different aspects like this since Rama. So I'm very much looking forward to at some point coming and visiting and seeing it for myself. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Kent. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Voices of VR podcast and for keeping the faith for where this industry is going here in the future. I feel like this is a kind of weird time for everybody in the industry. And if you believe in where this technology may go and that it may be able to bring about positive social change and transformation in the world, then please do consider supporting me here at the Voices of VR podcast, trying to navigate these dimensions of transformation and positive change for where all this might be going. So if you enjoy the coverage that I'm doing here, then please do consider becoming a member at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.